Sex, Lies, and Murder comes from Reels Channel. Reels fuels your real crime obsession with shocking originals like Jeffrey Dahmer, Killer Cannibal.
It's not enough to dismember somebody. He wants more.
And Ted Bundy, serial monster.
He leans in really close, and then very quietly he says,
I'm going to kill you.
Go to Reels.com now to find Reels on cable, satellite, and streaming services. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. And now, Sex, Lies, and Murder.
Yeah, I want you to head that way till we know more.
Heather Strong's cousin in Mississippi, who makes a call to the Florida Police Department in the town where Heather lives and says, I can't get a hold of my cousin.
Heather disappeared, and her husband, he's not reporting her missing.
There's some red flags in there that just jump out at you, and you know that something is just is not right, does not make sense.
You look at her life outward, and you come to a babysitter.
They just knew that things didn't add up.
As the pieces come together, they see that Heather Strong didn't disappear. Heather Strong didn't run away. Heather Strong is likely dead.
M. William Phelps, crime writer and investigative journalist.
Heather Strong reminded me of so many women in this country who are not talked about, who are not written about, who are not on the nightly news. Heather Strong was a waitress, busting her ass to take care of her kids. She took control of her life, and she waited tables to put food on the table and worked night and day for that.
Sergeant Donald Bleed, lead investigator, major crimes, Marion County Sheriff's Office.
I remember it was like 5 o'clock that evening. I was getting ready to walk out. The case came as a missing person by a family member of Heather Strong calling in saying that they haven't heard from her. So that was very strange and out of the norm for them not to hear from her on a regular basis.
Heather Strong, a mother of two, was reportedly last seen by her coworkers on February 15, 2009. In the early evening, she finished her shift at a truck stop restaurant on the east side of Florida's I-75. After work, her family lost contact with her.
The manager of the place says, you know, she lived paycheck to paycheck. She lived dollar to dollar. And you know what? Her last two paychecks, they're still sitting here. She never collected them. That's an alarm bell for cops. They know something's up right there.
Immediately, the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I immediately knew something was wrong in this case, that she didn't just walk off. Marion County is notorious for a lot of homicide cases. We have the Ocala National Forest, and I can only imagine how many bodies are actually buried in the Ocala National Forest.
Julie K. Brown, investigative reporter, Miami Herald.
Most people, when they think of Florida, they think of beaches and sunshine. So it surprises a lot of people. I mean, I've been to some areas of Florida that I kind of felt like, first of all, you can't get self-service in some of those areas. So if you're driving around up there and somebody comes and gets you, you might never see anybody.
Heather Strong wasn't a Florida native, having grown up in Mississippi. It was there that she met the father of her two children, Josh Fulgham. Heather and Josh dated off and on from the time she was 15.
They were together for a long time. They had become, you know, teenage kind of sweethearts in Mississippi. And then they moved to Florida, and she had two kids. I mean, they were together for like around 10 or 11 years before, you know, they finally got married.
Heather loved Josh. They had two kids together. She went through a lot in their relationship with Josh, but she still stuck by his side.
She had a red suitcase that's pulled out,
It's got wheels on it. She had it and a black, it's like a,
not that big.
About that wide. It wasn't really a suitcase, more or less like a duffel bag.
Okay.
And she had that with her. And that was the last I've seen or heard from her.
Josh was a lazy, non-working dope addict who beat the snot out of her anytime he felt like it. Josh thought he could discard her when he wanted and take her back when he wanted.
According to circuit court records, Josh Fulgham had been charged with aggravated assault on January 7th, 2009, a month before Heather's disappearance. The dispute was related to a new relationship Heather had begun with another man named Jason. Josh Fulgham was released after prosecutors abandoned the case at Heather Strong's request.
When he was in jail for those 30 days, you know, it set on his mind. She had gotten into this relationship with this new boyfriend, and that really teed Josh off.
Did you guys argue at all?
Not that, no, sir. No, sir, not that day at all. We did not argue at all that day. The last argument Heather and I had was the night I got my car back.
From Jamie?
Yes, sir. And that was over telephone. That was not in person. That was over telephone.
At some point, I think Josh knew when Heather got into this other relationship with this guy that he had lost her. I think that's what really upset him.
Like a scene from a classic cop TV series like Law & Order or NYPD Blue, Detective Buey pressured Josh relentlessly to reveal the truth about Heather's disappearance.
I don't know where Heather's at. I got an idea.
Where?
In the state of Mississippi, but I'm telling you in what house?
Bull.
No, it's
not.
That
ain't true.
Yes, it is.
And you know it.
Yes, it is. If you won't, get us a plane ticket. We'll fly out there. I'm going to point her ass out.
So why the hell you ain't pulling out in 30 days?
Because I don't need her.
Huh?
You need her. I don't.
Huh?
I don't need her. I'm not looking for her. You are.
They realized that, you know, he had the kids, and they were saying, well, didn't you try to contact her? You know, she's the mother. And he kept saying, well, I just figured she took off on me. And I think basically they just knew that things didn't add up.
She drops the kids off. Goes to work and never picks him up. That's what Josh says. And this was a woman. Her kids were her world. She'd never leave those kids behind.
Police records indicate that on the night of Heather Strong's disappearance, two people gave Josh Fulgham an alibi: his mother and the children's babysitter, Amelia Carr.
They begin to knock on doors and they begin to track down the story. So you look at Heather Strong and you look at her life outward and what's going on in her life. And you come to a babysitter.
From 9 p.m. ish, you said he said he was at his mom's?
Yeah.
So from 9 p.m. ish to 5 a.m., you don't know where he's at?
No, he was on the cell phone. He wasn't even on the house phone.
Amelia Carr was kind of this person who wanted you to think she was this shy, oh, I would never hurt nobody, victim. This person who was easily controlled by men all of her life.
I have no reason to want that girl dead, because either way, whether or not they were together or not, we still had kind of a relationship thing, but it was a fling. I've raised babies by myself. This one, trust me, with his violent history, he's never been violent towards me.
Yeah.
But verbally.
Yeah. You know, she just got involved with a lot of the wrong men. You know, she had a relationship pretty early on when she was young. As a teenager, she got pregnant. She had two children.
I didn't know that she had some dealings with the law. She had a small criminal record, but nothing outstanding.
Heather Strong's babysitter, Amelia Carr, denied knowing anything about Heather's disappearance, although police uncovered local rumors about animosity between the two. When they dug deeper into Amelia Carr's background, they discovered the babysitter had a turbulent upbringing.
She basically took care of her mother and her sister, and then she had her father and her grandfather. She says from the time that she was 5 years old, started sexually abusing her.
She had a very rough childhood, the missexual conduct with her father, and the many boyfriends and husbands that she's gone through.
Her father was eventually charged. Charges of sexual assault got dropped because they actually did then convict him on charges that he tried to solicit someone to kill them. Her, her mother, and her sister. To keep them quiet, essentially, about the sexual assault. She met Josh Fulgham, and he was involved in another woman who had two children.
Amelia and Josh had a friend in common. And Amelia and that friend were lovers. And they wanted to talk Josh into getting involved in a three-way porn video that the three of them would make together.
Yeah.
Get over here.
It wasn't a scheme to break into pornography. It was more of, they wanted to engage in a threesome, and they wanted to film it, and they wanted to see where that led. The mutual friend had heard from various people that you could sell these videos online, and you could get money for them.
Public records indicate that Amelia Carr's 22-year-old boyfriend was tragically killed in a car accident while in Tennessee, 3 years before Heather Strong's disappearance.
Josh goes to that state to console Amelia, and his story is, I only went there because it was our friend, I wanted to go to the funeral, and I wanted to console this friend of mine, Amelia. Well, maybe part of that's true, but he also went there to get with her. Because it's not long after that that they start getting together. Their version of a romantic night was to take the car out to the lake with a 12-pack and have sex in the back seat. So that's what Amelia and Josh started doing, drinking and having sex.
The whole thing turned into this lover's triangle with him going back and forth between the woman who had fathered his two children, Heather Strong.
Prior to Heather's disappearance, Amelia Carr was both babysitter to Heather's children and mistress to Heather's husband. In the year before Heather went missing, things grew even more complicated. After Heather broke up with Josh, investigation notes indicate that she began dating another man named Jason, whom Amelia Carr had also dated.
This is not just a triangle. This is actually a complete square. Because you have Heather Strong, you have Amelia Carr, you have Josh Fulgham, and you have Jason. Jason and Amelia Carr were in a relationship at one point. And obviously, Josh and Heather were in a relationship and married. So it seems like they kind of just like flopped, and they both took on the relationships of their ex-partners.
Police would later learn that at the time of Heather's disappearance, Amelia Carr was 6 months pregnant. The father of her baby was Josh Fulgham.
I'm not trying to cover for him. He's willing to throw me and my three and this child under the bus for something he did. No.
That's the person that Amelia Carr wants you to think she is. This person who, I'm just a simple mother, you know, and I met up with a real evil bad guy.
I'm trying to help. I don't want to be taken from my kids. I can tell you details that you guys probably already know.
The truth about Amelia that I discovered is that she's cold. She's a cold-hearted sociopath who would really do anything to get what she wanted. That's Amelia Carr. You know, you go to these areas and you can see the struggle. You can see how the economy has really destroyed these areas. You know, there's not a lot of work. There's severe unemployment. There's severe drug use. There's alcoholism. There's poverty. You can see it in the buildings.
The 2014 film Gone Girl features a husband who falls under suspicion when his wife goes missing. In March of 2009, this actual scenario played out in Marion County, Florida. 1 month after Heather Strong's disappearance, police interviewed her estranged husband, Josh Fulgham, and his girlfriend, Amelia Carr.
He told me that if you try to pull what Heather pulled with the kids, you'll be next to her. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, she's a lot closer than you think. I don't trust him. I'm scared. I'm afraid he'd hurt me.
Man, listen. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
The truth.
I've done the end.
No.
I've done the end.
Heather disappeared, and she was gone for a while. He was married to her. He was her husband. In the meantime, he is using her debit card, and he's not reporting her missing. I mean, she's gone almost a month, so that was pretty suspicious.
We knew we had some fraud when he was dealing with her personal credit card that he had no authorization to use.
That you stole money off this girl's car.
I didn't steal it.
Yes, you
she
did.
She gave it to me.
Yes, she did.
She exactly.
You stole money.
Yes,
oh, no,
did.
I say no. Yes, you did
she
is what I said.
She gave it to me.
No, I said yes, you did.
Man, she
you
gave
stole
me that
money
one.
Off her car. I can care less about the welfare card. Care less about that one.
Okay.
I'm asking about this one. Sit down. I'm asking about this one. Okay? And the reason why you lied to me because you just said that you know you weren't supposed to be using it.
No.
You weren't authorized to use that card. That's why you lied to me.
He had used that, which had a PIN number to it. So we knew that she didn't authorize him because that was personally assigned to her, her name, and her own secret PIN number on it. That night, we interviewed Josh for several hours.
What I was doing.
It could have been. I don't know how.
The use of Heather Strong's credit card provided police with the means to arrest Josh Fulgham. But surprisingly, Amelia Carr reinserted herself into the investigation, causing them to reconsider if she was somehow involved in Heather's disappearance.
She continuously tried to call. During the course of this investigation, after we would talk to her, we would send her back home. She would call, trying to inquire what's going on. What can you tell me? Again, this is Amelia being Amelia.
Because she was trying to find out if he was ratting her out. She was waiting for the police to come ask her, you know, say, well, he said that you did this.
And these cops are sitting around after she would leave for the fifth or sixth time saying, she's involved. She's got to be involved. Why is she doing this?
You're back here for us to just give you one more opportunity to tell the truth.
She was sort of waiting, and in the course of waiting, she kept going back to the detectives, finding out, like, what's going on, you know? And so she did it so many times that it became really suspect.
Amelia, I know you've had it rough. You're trying to raise three kids. You're halfway raising your sister. You're probably trying to help with your mom, okay? I know you've got your hands full. I know you need somebody to start looking after you, okay? Maybe Josh was the guy. I don't know.
The more investigators spoke with witnesses, the more they discovered how deep the love triangle between Josh, Heather, and Amelia went.
Months before Heather Strong went missing, family and friends confirmed that Amelia Carr became pregnant with Josh Fulgham's child.
Come back there.
Amelia was threatening Heather on the phone.
Don't you hang up on me!
In person.
You crazy? No.
Josh terrorized Heather. And after he hooked up with Amelia, they did it together.
Heather Strong's family alleged that Amelia Carr and Josh Fulgham conspired to make it seem as if they had broken up, allowing Josh to reconcile with Heather Strong in a plot to gain custody of their children.
Amelia got onto this thing where you were going to take his kids away. No one does that to my man. You're going to have to pay for that.
Amelia Carr and Josh Fulgham's alleged ruse was short-lived, and Heather rejected him in favor of another man. A month later, on January 7, 2009, Josh Fulgham was arrested for threatening Heather over custody of their children. While Josh Fulgham was in prison, Amelia Carr allegedly went to Heather's house and confronted her.
Basically, Amelia wanted Heather to write this letter to drop all charges on Josh. There was a disagreement between the two, and at some point, it was alleged and it was told that Amelia grabbed a handful of Heather's hair and put a knife to her throat and threatened her. Basically, you know, you need to get these charges dropped on Josh.
You wanted them kids. You didn't want her to have them.
No, I'm going to be honest with you, man.
You
I'm having
her to,
had no...
You didn't want her. She was sitting up there telling you. She was telling you. She was going... You won't never see them kids.
No, she was not.
Mm-hmm.
She, no. No, mm-hmm. She wasn't. And I'm going to be honest with you.
You wanted them kids.
I love my kids.
Josh denied having any information or any knowledge of what happened to Heather. And at that point, we were just exhausted.
I don't know where Heather's at.
I stood up and said, Josh, basically, we're done. I'm going to arrest you tonight on the fraudulent use of Heather's credit card, and I need your wallet and your personal belongings.
Can I go first?
No, no, no.
You tell me I can go, my friend.
No, no, no. Now you can't.
Why? Oh, my God. This is...
Josh dropped me a bombshell. Josh said, if you allow me to take my wallet to my mother and kiss my kids, I'll take you where Heather is.
Reels Channel feeds your appetite for real crime with exclusive originals. Jeffrey Epstein, his victims tell all.
If the police officer had taken me seriously, then I think he could have saved all the girls.
And John Wayne Gacy, Killer Clowns Revenge.
There were so many bodies in the crawl space.
Find Reels at Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Then check the top of the screen to find Reels in your area.
Initially, he didn't say that he did. Initially, he just said, which is kind of odd, he just told them where her body was. He didn't say, I did it. He just said, I can tell you where the body is.
I closed the door. I ran out of that interview room, and I told everybody that was involved in this investigation that they better grab a car because we're moving quick. We end up shackling him up. We put him in a car, and he directed us up to Amelia's house.
Josh came to a point where he just said, look, all right. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm not going to end up in the chair. And he gave him the goods.
He told them that it was back by the trailer.
I remember taking a fairly long stick, 2-3 foot stick, and breaking it off, and I start poking around the bottom of the trash pile. And as soon as I was able to get through it, manipulate my way through the trash pile and hit the ground, and immediately, just a little bit of force, it went all the way down to my knuckle.
The decomposing body of Heather Strong was discovered by police in the backyard of a home owned by Amelia Carr's mother. Heather Strong was partially buried a few feet away from the entrance to an abandoned trailer in which police theorized she was murdered after she left work on February 15th, 2009.
After they, you know, got the body, then they started, I guess, putting more pressure on him and how things didn't, that he was saying didn't add up.
When you have this type of murder where two people are involved, he did it, she did it. So they blame each other, and they each doesn't have to take full responsibility.
At which point did you dig the hole?
After I went there and seen Heather. I went out before we drug her out. We got her into the bag and got her covered up. I went out there and dug the hole.
Mm-hmm. What was Amelia doing then?
While I was digging the hole,
mm-hmm.
Standing there talking to me.
We had nothing on Amelia. We had only Josh's statement and co-defendant statement basically say that she was there.
They know that she was there when Heather died. They also know that the only way that they can really get her on this is to get her to talk about it. And if they can get a secret confession from her, even better.
So at that point, contact was made with Josh's sister because we knew Amelia was going to reach out to her.
Josh's sister went along with this because Josh is feeding his sister. I didn't do anything. You got to believe me. Amelia did it. Amelia did it. So the sister believes if I can get Amelia to confess, my brother's going to get off. I mean, because he's innocent.
So we set the plan up. We put them two together and we let them go off and talk.
You need to tell me what happened that night, and then we can work on a story about, and maybe they'll let me in to see Josh and not be recorded, because if it's recorded, I can't tell him anything over the phone. So tell me what happened that night, because three heads are better than two.
They're talking in the car, and over there is one detective, over there is another detective. And Amelia immediately feels sketchy about the whole thing. And, of course, Josh's sister is no interrogator, so she's nervous.
Will you tell me so I know what all Josh said was true? You told me from day one when I met you, you would always be honest with me. So what happened that night? What happened?
Pretty much what he told you.
All right, you tell me your version of it.
She basically told her, if you want me to help Josh, you got to tell me the truth. And she basically, Amelia kept saying, Josh needs to keep his mouth shut. We can get out of this if he keeps his mouth shut.
Because if he confesses to this, we both go down.
She got to think about her.
I know. And see, that's why they really don't think Josh did this. And they knew physically I wasn't capable of doing it. And they knew Heather wouldn't come within 5 feet of me. They knew that.
And then she said, can you handle the truth?
I can't sleep. I can't eat. I hadn't ate since Wednesday. So I want detail.
I don't know if you can handle it, Michelle.
When we talk about love triangles, they tend to bring out the worst in people. They really do. And this case surely exemplifies that.
More than 1 month after the murder of Heather Strong, police carried out a sting operation in an attempt to gain a confession from her romantic rival, Amelia Carr.
details. As hard as you think it is to give me details or that I can't handle it, that's what we're going to have to do so that we can get stories straight. How did it even all come about?
Amelia, you know, basically went for it and said, this is what we did. And she sort of started telling Josh's sister exactly what they did and how they lured her to this trailer.
He pulled up. I stayed inside for a few minutes like I was told. When I got out there, he was talking to her. And every time he heard something he didn't want to hear, he'd hit her. He hit her upside the head and broke a flashlight. She tried to run for the door. He dragged her back. And he started to tape her to the chair so that she couldn't run.
What she admits to is, I might have been there when Heather was brought out to the trailer.
We put the bag over her head. We tried to snap her neck. That didn't work. Well, how would you try to break her neck? I'd have to be quick and painless.
You have two people you know are involved. And all you got to do at that point, if you're a cop, is separate them. You separate them and you start talking to them. And you just play to each one of them. And that's what they did here.
I'm not trying to play you against Josh. I'm being honest with you. I know you were there. I know that you guys put her in that suitcase.
You know you're sitting next to a person or sitting across from a person that has committed this horrific crime. And our ultimate goal is to get that person, number one, to tell us the truth. Tell us what happened. And not only what happened, but why. Why did this happen?
I know you were there the night that she took her last breath. I know that you were physically in that room. I know that you physically was touching her when she took her last breath. I'm not lying to you.
They were pointing the fingers at each other. You know, Amelia's saying, this is what Josh told me, and Josh is saying, this is what Amelia told me.
Honestly, I did not plan to kill Amelia. That was not a plan of
Josh,
ours.
All she had to do was come back and say, I didn't sign this. They threatened me. They tied me up. They tried to kill me.
Yeah, but
do you know where you'll be at? Your kids will be gone. You'd be in the situation you is right now. You were fed up with Heather f***ing with you. Get this off your chest. Don't show the world that you're just this cold person.
I'm not cold. I'm trying to watch out for myself.
I know you are. I know you are.
Because I got dragged into something. I should have never had any part of it.
Exactly. And you had a part in it. 50-50.
They'd go to one room. They talk to Josh.
This is what Amelia said to do one time. Amelia's talking about throwing out Lonnie's lake. And the gator's there.
They'd go to the other room. They'd talk to Amelia.
Josh told us what happened. Josh told us that she was coached or she was lured to the house.
And they'd say, you know, Amelia, you know what he's saying about you? And they'd lie. They'd go to Josh and say, you know what she's saying about you? And they'd lie. And after about a couple of days of that, the truth emerges.
You understand what's going on now, right?
Yeah.
You understand that you just admitted to murder?
Yeah.
Premeditated murder?
Yeah.
You understand that?
What's the penalty on that? Death?
I don't know, Josh. We're not the jury. Is that right, that you were there with Josh when Heather took her last breath? I can't hear you.
Yes.
What did you guys do after
she took her last breath.
Can I ask you something?
Can you answer that for me? Can
you answer that? Questions. You're just gonna go ahead and arrest me, right? There's no way I'm going home tonight.
Basically, he manipulated Heather, told Heather that Amelia had about $2,500 that was inside the trailer that she had hidden.
Josh Fulgham convinced Heather Strong to accompany him to an abandoned trailer behind Amelia Carr's mother's house. Allegedly, Josh used the pretense of stealing money he knew to be hidden in the trailer, which he would presumably share with Heather.
He told her that he knew where some money was stashed. I don't think he had the intent to kill her. I think things just got out of hand.
Josh says he's walking around in the trail pretending that he's looking for this money that's hidden in here. And then he tells Heather, sit down, we have to talk. Heather immediately knew right then something was wrong. Heather says, no, I'm out of here. And as she's leaving, who appears? Amelia appears.
According to Amelia Carr's statements to police, the initial motive for restraining Heather inside the trailer was to scare her into signing over custody of her children to Josh.
Now, how long has this been planned?
Man, to be honest with you, that night didn't get planned till that evening. It was a long time ago. Amelia came to the house one night when Heather had gone to the bar. Heather went out one night and I kept the kids. Amelia came back. It's been a long time ago.
So y'all planned this a long time ago.
Josh told us that y'all had talked about doing something
like
this.
We've never talked about anything like this.
He said y'all had never planned it fully.
At one point during this, Josh describes that Amelia just couldn't control herself, walked over and grabbed Heather by the neck and just started strangling her. She couldn't help herself.
She was like behind Heather.
So she was behind her?
She was like behind her.
Does she have her arm around her neck choking her at the same time? Or just the finger over the nose? I mean, what's...
It like seemed like she just had a finger on her nose like that right there.
Might have had around the neck.
He held his hand over her mouth and her nose. I didn't kill her.
Did you tape it around her neck? Did you tape the bag around her neck?
They lured her to this trailer and how they, you know, basically tried to break her neck. And when that didn't work, they put a garbage bag over her head and taped it around her neck so that she would just suffocate.
The one thing about this murder that really saddened me, that broke my heart, was that not only did Heather know she was going to die, that she knew it was going to be prolonged, and that she knew the person who was killing her was the man she had loved at one time, and her babysitter, the new girlfriend.
I think that was their intent. She was never going to leave that trailer alive.
In a scene reminiscent of the movie Reservoir Dogs, Heather Strong was brutally murdered in an abandoned trailer. Despite audio obtained by the Marion County Sheriff's Office, in which Amelia Carr detailed her involvement, and Josh Fulgham leading authorities to the body, once in custody, both attempted to minimize their involvement.
Josh certainly blamed Amelia, and Amelia certainly blamed him.
Josh Foreman, Amelia Carr, and Heather Strong. These are the only three people who know what happened. Heather Strong obviously can't tell me. Amelia Carr, Josh Foreman. Although only two can tell me what happened to this girl. He's confessed his sins to me. And he's told me what your involvement was.
Which is none if you listen.
That's not true.
Well, that's your opinion.
It is.
To make this very short, my impression of Amelia, cold. Heartless. She's never going to accept responsibility for her actions or what she did. And that's something that she's going to have to live with for the rest of her life. But she is a very cold woman.
Some of the interviews I saw with her where she's saying, like, the worst that I'm guilty of is lying. That's the worst thing I'm guilty of. Well, she was there. I mean, she could have walked away at any point.
A lot of the things Amelia did leading up to this murder would make me think that she was the mastermind behind it all. That this wasn't Josh's idea to begin with to murder Heather. Because Josh always argued that my idea was to scare her straight. To scare her in that trailer to think, I am not taking these kids away. And that it escalated into murder. That Amelia escalated into murder.
I wasn't there, that I had nothing to do with this.
You told me you were there. You told me what you did. Do you not remember all that?
I told you what you wanted to hear.
No, no. This is some game that Amelia wants to try to come play. It ain't gonna work. You ain't tell me what I want.
I don't believe that for a minute. I mean, once I think they crossed the line, they were all in together. But I think Amelia's the one who instigated the whole thing.
On March 25th, 2009... Amelia Carr was charged with kidnapping and first-degree murder alongside Josh Foljam. At the time of arrest, Amelia Carr was 9 months pregnant with Foljam's child. She later delivered the baby while in custody at the Marion County Jail.
Josh's take on all of this is a contrived notion that he was sexually abused when he was a child. All his behaviors and the violence and the murder all stems from his childhood when he was sexually abused. I couldn't find any corroborating evidence. He made it all up for court so he could get sympathy and get a lesser sentence. I definitely think Amelia Carr was sexually abused by people close to her. But you know what? There's hundreds of thousands of kids abused in this country every day, and they don't grow up to torture and murder people. So it's not an excuse, you know? It is what it is.
In a series of controversial decisions, Josh Foljam was sentenced to life in prison for the murder of Heather Strong, while Amelia Carr was sentenced to death for the same crime. At the time, Amelia was 26 years old, making her the youngest woman on death row in the United States.
You take who was going to testify against whom, you draw straws, and Josh came out ahead. He was willing to give testimony, and she wasn't. She thought she could get away with this. That's the mistake Amelia Carr made.
Amelia Carr's death sentence was upheld by the state Supreme Court, who noted that her IQ was 125, while Foljam's IQ was only 81.
She was the mastermind, although she claimed that he was the mastermind. But, you know, she had a high IQ. She was pretty smart. And it wouldn't be far-fetched to think that she had a lot more to do with it than she claims.
That's the game she's playing. You know, poor me, poor me, poor me. This guy did this. I'm taking the blame.
She had a real campaign going, including on Facebook and the internet, Free Amelia Carr, which was essentially a campaign to try to get her off and get her a new trial and get her off death row.
In October of 2016, the Florida Supreme Court ruled that death sentences must be assigned by a unanimous jury. Because Amelia Carr's sentence was decided by an 8-4 vote, her death sentence was commuted to life in prison. The state of Florida does not have a parole system, meaning Amelia will spend the rest of her life in prison.
In this case, you really see kind of like a perfect storm of violence that's going to happen in the lives of Josh Fulgham and Heather Strong.
We got blessed on this one. The cards were dealt in our favor. We were able to have Josh and Amelia accountable for what they did to Heather, and that Josh is going to have to live with this. Heather is now gone. That's the mother of his kids that he's going to have to know that he took a part of his kid's life away.
Sex, Lies, and Murder comes from the Real Crime Addicts at Reels channel. To find shocking originals like this on your TV, go to Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. And thanks for listening to Sex, Lies, and Murder.